So. Let's begin with this first meditation of the day. And as I already said during my homily, I would give to this day of retreat this title taken by the from the Gospel of St. Matthew, but St. Luke as well. Man does not live on bread alone. So, and you may already understand when Jesus spoke these words. When he was taken by the Spirit in the desert and was tempted by the devil. So we take this, we begin this reflection by thinking of that moment when Jesus is in the desert and he has to face the attack of the devil, the temptations. This is the topic we will be reflecting upon today. Jesus away from everyone and Jesus staying in the desert. This very isolated place to do what? This is before starting his ministry, his public ministry. Jesus wanted to spend a time completely secluded from everyone, everything, just to be alone with the Father in heaven. The reason Jesus is taken by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the desert is to find a place to be more in relationship with God the Father as true man. We know that Jesus is true God, so he is always in the bosom of the Father. But Jesus is also true man. As true man, Jesus is always seeking out this relationship, this bond with the Father in heaven. This is the reason Jesus prays. Before starting anything, Jesus always spends time isolated in prayer. For example, when he chose the 12 apostles, before choosing them, Jesus spent the whole night in prayer up on a mountain, the mountain, to find this relationship with God, to nourish his relationship with God the Father. We see Jesus praying, Jesus seeking this presence of God the Father. And the same we want to do today, yes? To imitate our Lord. In this Lenten season, a very beautiful moment to be more closer to our Lord and through him to God the Father in the Holy Spirit. So the first point is Jesus is taken by the Spirit into the desert. In order to be tempted by the devil. But before addressing this temptation, we have to reflect upon this fact. Jesus is in the desert. The desert in the Bible plays a very important role, you know. The desert is the place where God is significantly present. Because of its, because the desert is a very, especially the desert, if you have been in the Holy Land, you know the desert. It's not made by sand, but by stone. So it's a very dry place. There is nothing other than stones everywhere. Even it is very hard to find, of course, water and something living. So Jesus chose to be there in order to have the only necessary thing, the Father. Jesus has nothing, nothing to eat. Yes? That's why after 40 days he was fasting, the devil came to put him to the test and saying, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus had nothing, only his Father in heaven. This is the first point I would like to highlight in this meditation. Sometimes when we go somewhere, even to a spiritual pilgrimage, we think of anything possible. We bring with ourselves everything we might have need of. But do we think, especially when we come to a day of retreat, that we need only one thing? God. Do we think of this? You remember the other beautiful dialogue between Jesus and when he was hosted in Lazarus' house by Mary and Martha, the sister. Jesus was rebuking Martha because she forgot the only necessary thing. Yes? Unum necessarium. One thing is truly necessary. What Mary chose? To be at the foot of Christ and to listen to him. Just even to look at him was enough to be completely filled by Jesus' presence. So this is the first point of this meditation. Is God necessary for us? Has he the first place in our lives? Does he come first? Or even sometimes last? Jesus came into the desert to find God, the Father, without having anything but the only necessary thing. So Jesus is showing us the necessity of God. This is what the monks, we are monks today, yes? What the monks have translated into a spiritual program of life. In Latin, querere Deum, to look for God. Querere Deum. A monk does not want anything else than this, to look for God. You might say, but what about food? What about needs, material needs to be met? Material things of life. Querere then first God. Because if you have this only good that you need, you have actually anything you might need of. Yes? This is the point. We have to come into this understanding because we are very material. We are very attached to things of this world because also our perception of the world starts always with something we see, something we hear, something we taste, and so on. So that's why, since our knowledge begins with material things, we are tempted just to always start with material things. But the spiritual life is something different. We have started, of course, with material things, but we have to come into now a new attitude. To start with spiritual things, to start with God. So our effort today and throughout this Lenten season, especially during this blessed time, is to look for God. This effort to look for Him. And we have to confess actually that even within our parishes, within our religious communities, in a wider sense, there is an absence of God. this is my experience as parish priest. What I say sometimes in the church, this not to point the finger to anyone, just a reflection, yes, to help grow and to have more maturity. Of course, what I say is that although religious people are godless, sometimes it is very hard to be, to look for God first, and not to see God as something useful to me. I need God for something. So I come to Him, I come to pray, I come to Mass, I come to the sacraments, I come to look for baptism for my child, because it is something to be done, not because it is something needed. So I need God for something else. God is a means to an end. The end is not God. The end is what? My life, my wellness, my, I don't know. If I need God, I come to look for Him. But normally we don't need God, do we? We need God for what? I have my money, I have my life, my house, my work. Why should I look for God? I need God when I need something. I need to baptize my child. When I need to get married. Yes, I need to get married. I come to look for God. I come to the parish. I come to a liturgy, a service. But actually, we don't need God. So, maybe I'm wrong, but this is my perception of today's attitude, which is spread all over the world, I think. It is not a situation we find in here, but everywhere. I would say we live in a practical atheism. We are practically atheists. We do not deny God. No, we say no, God does exist, of course. He does. He must exist. We do not theoretically deny His existence because we need Him. Yes? But we practically deny Him. That's the danger, I think. To be practically without God, although we say that we are religious. Where are we when we pray? When we look for Him? Do we look for Him or do we look for ourselves? And we need Him in order to have something for us. Of course, we need everything. We need, especially eternal salvation, is something that we need. But the danger is that we transform the means into an end. The end is God, and the means is prayer, spiritual life, everything which is leading to Him. But we transform, actually, the very end, which is God, becomes to be the means, and the means the end of life. So we have to tackle this problem, which is quite challenging our belief nowadays. The religious world seems to me to be quite a world. I mean the religious world. When I say religious world, I mean people practicing, or even people not lapsed as such, but people practicing sometimes. Yes? Because the lapsed ones are those who have made their choice. They say, no, I don't have an interest. So they are more theoretical about this. They have made a choice. They think that God perhaps does not exist. They have nothing to do with the church, with God, and so on. But I mean, people who practice or just practice sometimes, the normal average of religious people. And I see this problem of a practical atheism, which is the illness of our church. And we have to tackle this problem. The Lenten season is a very important moment to just put ourselves before God and see ourselves in His presence to check whether we are interested in Him because of us, or we want Him because of Him. So the perfection is to look for the God of consolations instead of the consolations of God. This is who? Saint Teresa of Avila, the great Teresa. We do not look for the consolations of God, but we look for the God of consolations. This is the perfection of Christian life. And this is the step we have to take today to improve our spiritual life, to look for God. Querere Deum, as Jesus does in the desert, as all saints have done. Holiness is a beautiful example of these precedents of God. Above all things, God first. Always, in any case, in any condition, no compromise. That's the grandeur of holiness. God always first. Not myself, not my own ego, my interests, but God. So the desert, this is a moment of desert. That's why I'm always stressing more the fact that we have to be silent. It's quite difficult to be silent, yes? Especially nowadays. I'm convinced that the reason we come to be practically atheists is because of noise. The noise surrounding us. We are surrounded by noises everywhere. Yes? We have noises even with us. This mobile phone is always something ringing, or a message coming in, a WhatsApp, Twitter. A lot of things which are useful, of course. Yes? I can chat with my family without paying too much. But it is very disruptive sometimes, because, and especially our youth nowadays, have you ever seen what they do when they meet? They meet as we do now, but everyone has got his own mobile phone, and they chat, not as I'm doing with you, but they chat via the mobile phone. If they have to engage in a conversation, they send a message. It's unbelievable. But this is the time we are living in. We are not able to communicate anymore personally, because there is another way to communicate, which is very distracting, very noisy. If we live in this noise, of course it is very hard to see why I need God. I don't need Him. I have everything. Of course, the more I am living in this noise, the easier I forget that I have a soul, that I need a spiritual nourishment. So you see, the importance of silence in order to to be more, to be aware that we need God, we need Him. So the first thing is the desert, as this one today, Bridge Mary, is a desert. Actually, it is quite a very good place, isolated, to be on retreat. Yes? This is a desert where we find God. We want to listen to Him, to come into His presence. Just to be open to Him and to be ready to accept whatever He tells us, whatever He teaches us. These beautiful things, these hidden things that Jesus is revealing to us. One of the most beautiful hidden things is what? His relationship with God the Father. No one knows the Son but the Father. Yes? No one come into this knowledge of the Son and then through the Son to the Father without being one with the Son. So the things hidden and revealed to humble people are especially these mysteries, the mystery of God, who is one in three persons, this communion of love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As we come into the presence of Jesus, as we come into His heart, we enter His heart, we participate in the heart of Christ, by being in His heart, we participate in the mystery of the eternal generation of the Father, of the Son, from the Father. The Father begets the Son since all eternity, and the Son is generated by the Father. And this communion love, this relationship between the Father and the Son and the Father, is another person, is the Holy Spirit. And this is the mystery making everything. This is the mystery which is eternal. And you understand, if we enter Jesus' heart in silence, we come to understand this beautiful mystery which is invisible, which is silent, but which is the mystery of all mysteries, the mystery of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Especially when we receive Holy Communion, the moment of Holy Communion is very, very precious. Why? We have Jesus within ourselves, yes? The bread of life. But where Jesus is, there, necessarily, the Father is, and the Holy Spirit as well. Have you ever thought about this? You become a living abode of the Holy Trinity. Because Jesus, present in that sacred bread, is always with the Father. He cannot be but with the Father. And the Father is always with the Holy Spirit and the Son. There is always this eternal life of God. God is always one, but in three persons. There is always this communication of love within God. But we can be partakers of this communication of love while receiving Holy Communion. This is also why thanksgiving to Holy Communion is very, very important. Normally, when we go to Mass, we need to rush out. As soon as the Mass is ended, no one is there. Everyone disappeared. Where are the people? Everyone is busy. the mass is ended, everyone is already with the bag. Go in peace. Goodbye. See you next week. No, the Thanksgiving after Holy Communion is very precious. The Thanksgiving, especially a silent, or you can say some prayers in Thanksgiving, but the meaning is to be aware of what is happening. When I thank our Lord, I thank Jesus, but if I come into his Thanksgiving, the Eucharist, the meaning of the Eucharist is what? Thanksgiving. Eucharistia is Thanksgiving, which means what? The thanksgiving of the Son to the Father for being a man, for being able for receiving from the Father a body which has been turned into bread, a salvific body. And the Son is thanking the Father for being his Son, for having from him the body in order to save us. So the Son is thanking the Father in the Holy Spirit. If we thank the Son, of course we come into this beautiful share. We come into this beautiful communion with the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And then we experience the presence of God. This is the highest thing, which is hidden to proud people. People always in a rush, and revealed to those who are humble of heart, those who have time, a little bit more time for Jesus, especially after Mass, to be there and to be thankful for what we have celebrated, for what we have received. So, God always first. This is the effort of Lent, to look for God. Looking for Him. Another point to be considered, always looking at Jesus in the desert. Jesus comes into the desert, led by the Spirit. So we said first, to be in union with God the Father. But there is another reason Jesus comes into the desert, to fight against the devil. In fact, the desert in the Christian tradition is not only a place of God's presence, but since the desert is so isolated, so dry, especially that kind of desert in the Middle East, the desert is also the place where the devil is, the temptation is. In fact, the more a person is with God, the more that person is tempted. Yes? Is this also your experience, perhaps? The more you want to do something good, the more you find difficulties to do it. Why? You might get discouraged and say, better not to care about this. Why God is testing me? I want to do something good, but I'm always pushed back by something bad. And the more I want to be good, the easier I find myself bad, or something impeding me to be good, some kind of temptation. But the devil does not need to work too much for those who do not belong to God, for those who practically live in this kind of atheism. Yes? He doesn't need too much effort to convince these people that God does not exist, that they don't need God. But he does need some more effort to challenge those who instead want to be closer to Him. So Jesus came into the wilderness where there was nothing other than beasts and dryness. But there Jesus found the devil, the temptation. Of course, Jesus was tempted not because of his weakness. Jesus is not tempted because he is submitted to the devil, but he is tempted in order to show us how to overcome temptations. Jesus is a master in the desert, teaching us what to do against the devil. Jesus is not inclined, as we are, to sin. Jesus is perfect. He's the Son of God. So in Jesus there is no concupiscence, no inclination to commit a sin, to be very attached to material things. But Jesus is allowing the serpent, the devil, to tempt him in order to give us the teaching, to teach us how to win over the devil, over every temptation. The reflection I want to develop now is this. The desert is a place of temptation. Jesus knows it, and he goes into the desert to fight against the devil. So the first point is, Christian life is not something pacific. Yes, we think that Christians are meek because everything is very quiet and we do not want the war. We are pacifists. Christian life is a war not against people, not against Korea, North Korea or South Korea, but Christian life is a war against the devil, against the sin, against the inclination of our flesh to commit a sin. If we do not fight, unfortunately, we collapse. So Christian life is warfare. It's quite interesting, especially from my experience in Italy. We have a lot of pacifists, group, these no global people, sometimes even green people, very quiet, very pacifist. But when they have a kind of parade against the government, they become very upset. Wherever they go, they smash everything up. They have a parade against the police. They keep fighting against the police. They keep smashing everything, cars, shops. They are pacifists. Anyway, this is a demonstration that pacifism is an ideology, does not exist. They want to fight wrongly for something, of course, for their own ideologies, but they demonstrate practically that pacifism is not the case. There is no pacifism. We have to be in peace, of course, but with God. If we are in peace with God, we can be in peace with everyone. If we do not are in peace with him, we keep smashing everything up, unfortunately. When there is something wrong within ourselves, we are not pacific as we should. But the point is, Christian life is not something concerning pacifism. We have, as Jesus shows us today, we have to fight against the devil. We have to fight against temptation. I want to read you the third temptation in the desert that you already know, but it is quite important to see the point I want to make. The final temptation was this. The devil took him up into a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, all these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. It's quite interesting. The devil is ready to give to Jesus all kingdoms, all properties, all money, all goods, but under one condition, only one condition. The devil can give you anything you want, all happiness of this world, but there is one condition. You have to fall down and worship him, the devil. What does it mean? Be careful, because behind material things, if you come to be godless in your life and you want only something with you, you come to the point of worshipping things. But the worship of things is not only the way to live on material things only, but behind the things there is the devil. People worship the devil by worshipping material things, by looking for this wellness of life. The devil is, of course, he does not come to you so explicitly as he did with Jesus, and he shows up and says, here I am, I give you all money, you can pay for your mortgage, and you are safe for all life. I give you a new building, whatever you want, but you have to adore me. No. He's very cunning. He's always hidden, yes, behind these traps of life. But you can see people who come to be godless, to renounce to God, they need to have something in their lives. They need to worship. If they do not worship God, they start to worship what? Things. Idols. Idolatry is what? To make this cup into a god. This is my god. The cup of tea is my god. Or that money is my god. Sex is my god. We come to worship things. But when we worship something, we worship the devil. When we worship things and not God, we worship the devil. So the reflection is this. I think it is important to realize it in order to open our eyes and to fight against the devil. Normally we are very proud when we do not believe in anything. Yes? We are proud. I don't need any religion. I don't need any God. I have everything I need. I'm satisfied with my life. This is not true. Because we do need something to worship. Why? We are made. We cannot make ourselves. Yes? We need someone to make us. Of course, we need our parents, but we need God. We are made as beings, human beings, in relationship with God. Since we are creatures, we are created, yes? We are created, so we are creatures, which means we are made, we are called into being by the one who is the being, God, the creator, yes? and he has made us to be in relationship with him. We cannot live without this relationship. Naturally, we need God to be. Without God, we cannot live. Since we are made as creatures in relationship, we always need him. We always need to find out his face in order to adore him. So when we turn up and say, I don't need God, although I need him to be, but I don't need him to live my life, we necessarily are now choosing something else to replace this need to be in relationship with. Yes? If we reject God and we say, I don't need faith, I don't need religion, I don't need any spiritual life, I am enough, I have everything, I have enough in my life, we are replacing God with something else. So what I want to say is that we always come to the point of worshipping something. Either we worship God or we worship things, idols. But behind idols there is Satan. He's the father of all lies. Idols are not several gods available on the market of religions. No. Idols are another face of Satan. And this is very clear to St. Paul, to the fathers of the church, who have seen idols are a mask to hide the true face, which is the face of Satan. So the point is, man cannot live without adoration. We need adoration. We need to adore. Adoration is the completion of our own being. It is the way we pass from being a natural person to a Christian when we adore Christ, to be a supernatural person, to be in grace, and by grace to adore God in Christ. So we cannot live without adoration. We need to adore. Adoration is necessary. But it is up to us who to adore. We have to choose. And every man, every woman of this world has to choose what to adore in life. God, or if I say Satan, you say, no, I don't want to adore Satan. Yes, but finally you do that. Because if you reject God, what you have? What is the alternative to God? Idols. So, if we break this relationship with God, we come to be tempted, of course, by Satan, who promises us everything. Don't worry, I give you everything. But under one condition, you must adore me, not God. God is your enemy. I am your friend. I give you, God is giving pain, suffering, crosses. I am your friend. I give you only happiness in this world. And then? So, dear brethren, we have to come to this, I think, understanding by reflecting on this beautiful topic. Jesus led into the desert to find God the Father and to be tempted by the devil, but he overcame the temptation. You must adore only God. and him only you must serve. We only need God. So, to conclude, we have this afternoon we will be reflecting on another topic which is linked to this, and this is the fast. Yes, the desert is also the place where to fast, but we cannot fast if we do not pray. We have to pray to meet with God, to be ready to be tempted, and then in order to win over the temptation, we have to fast as well. But the works of the Lenten season, especially prayer, fast, and almsgiving, can be tackled this afternoon. Yes? Today, this morning, we have to focus on this. God, above all things, and the very choice we have to make. God, or it's a beautiful book of Cardinal Sarah, they say. God or nothing. The title of the book is God or Nothing. We can say today God or Satan. The nothingness is always a mask, of course, but the nothingness is hiding something, yes? The father of all lies, Satan. So we thank our Lord for this day he gives us to reflect, to be more concentrated, and we now can spend some time in the church, in silent adoration before Jesus, to ask for all graces we need, especially to ponder more deeply these things we said, and to let Jesus speak to us. Open your heart to let him speak to you personally and to teach you his divine will. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst men, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.